This is the Monicast, all about open source marketing automation with Montic. And here is your host, Eki Gemble.
Okay, it's high time for us to start the recording because our pre-show chit-chat is not getting better.
True.
Okay, welcome, Leon, to Monicast number 50.
Number 50? It's been a couple of episodes.
It has been, yeah. And that is also the reason why we are in the interview part doing a little special today. We are not talking to somebody from the outside, but talking to ourselves.
Oh,
in fact, I'm talking to Thomas and not to you, who's normally hosting the German Monicast.
Indeed, yeah.
And we're going to talk a little bit about what we do at Leuchtfeuer and why we do what we do and so on. So stay tuned for that interview. But we also have a tiny list of things that we should
talk
about.
Things, just here and there, a couple bit.
What do we talk about first?
I think we just talk about the Modic versions, I think it's been so long since the last episode, we didn't even report on the 5.1 yet.
No, we did not.
Came out in the meantime with a lot of UI overhauled, but a general action-packed and feature-packed release. I think it was the most ever features in a single release.
Yeah, maybe not list-wise, but from the actual value that comes with it, the biggest one ever since 1.0, I guess.
True. Yeah, but we even have a new Modic 5 version, the Modic 5.1.1, which came out two days ago from this recording. Yeah. Also combined with the 4.4.13, the important security releases, which... we used the last 2 days to implement on our systems.
Yeah, indeed. Pretty important, as you say. It's severe security flaws that have been fixed in this one. It's not been used in the wild anywhere. So in the past, everybody should have been safe. But now that it's public, we really recommend everybody to update quickly. Yeah, it's not a big deal, but there we are on 5.1.1 and 4.4.13.
Yeah, and I think in the same breath, we should also shout out the security team for their works, especially Jan, Lennon, for example. There's been a lot of work behind the scenes and not that much talked about, but I think they worked a lot on these security releases.
Yeah, there was a blog post... welcoming to new folks, I think Patrick and Nick, the security team. We link to the blog post as well.
Yeah, we should, yeah.
Like always, everything we talk about, you'll find in the show notes. So a lot of links to click on. None of them is dangerous. While we are at 5.1 and all those UI improvements, it's really changing a lot. I mean, 5.1 looks different from 5.0.
Oh, it does.
You could even call it a breaking change.
In the UI, yeah.
Yeah, but it has been high time and there's more to come. And I think it's on a good cycle now. And of course, most of that is driven by Ricardo, who you know from our last episode from the interview. And Ricardo still is doing other things as well in the UI world. He's shelling out free MJML templates. He has his crafting.email site where he has all that. He's even offering to create themes on your demand, so you can suggest things and he will create them for free. And one example that I specifically like is his emoji survey theme.
Yes,
because we have had the topic so frequently. What is a nice way to do a survey or a poll? And obviously, emojis are very popular.
Yeah, pretty much nailed it on the head with that one.
Yeah.
Talking about people from the community, we switched to the topic of marketing know-how, which we hadn't had for a couple episodes as well. Toby from ADN Audienture also released a couple of blog posts on his page regarding excellent welcome mails or how to reconnect with inactive clients. A bit of marketing know-how dropped here and there, and I've read through them, and they're pretty good, very well written.
Yeah. I mean, we have had other examples from his blog in the past,
mm-hmm.
and I still think it's super valuable to have blog posts on that level.
Yeah, indeed.
Also tying in with what we do in Mordic. So not just abstract, but really tangible.
With hands-on, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, shall we move on to new features?
Yeah,
but external features, read plugins.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I've read that there's a new WhatsApp plugin out on the market, which is not using Twilio anymore, if I remember that correctly.
Yeah. We talked about that last week, and that is from Renato Carabelli.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand that he just took Joey's famous weekend project, where Joey, just for fun, tried to connect something else to WhatsApp in the morning. Mm-hmm. And turned that into a Sender plugin. Sender is another provider, just like Twilio is.
Yeah.
And so if you care about that, I think it's even better, or it's at least more feature-rich than Twilio connector. Yeah, give it a shot if you use Mordic. If you use Mordic with WhatsApp, obviously.
Yeah, and if you use Mordic, you might have heard his name of Zdeno Kuzmani already. He proposed a couple of new plugins, or let's say, the plugins that have gotten a couple of updates. The first one is the Mordic Multiple SMTP Bundle, which enables Mordic to send using different SMTPs, which is pretty cool. So for example, you could send an email to contact one using SMTP 1 and contact two using SMTP 2.
Yeah. That's a real request that people, or a real need that many people have.
Yeah.
And Steno, or aka MTC XTND, he published this. I think it has been there for a while. He also announced it's going to come for Mordic 5 pretty soon, quote unquote. and it's if you need it, you will know that you need it, and it's really valuable, good stuff.
Yeah, valuable, good stuff is the other plugin as well. It's the Mordic Unlimited SQL Bundle, which was prior known as the SQL Conditions Bundle, that also has gotten a little overhaul, a little bit of new features, but is still only for Mordic 4 and is waiting for the Mordic 5.
Yeah, but I wouldn't understate the overhaul, because so far it has been called SQL Conditions for a reason.
Yeah.
It was because you could do conditions with SQL, and now it's actually much more convenient, much more powerful, because you can work directly with segments and whatever.
True, that's a huge improvement.
Yeah. Yeah, and then there's another thing that's still awaiting the upgrade to Mordic 5. I mean, okay, Mordic 5 still being young. but it's a major thing, and it's custom objects by Acquia.
Mm-hmm.
Real power horse, and getting closer and closer to the release. We'll link to the PR. So if you are using custom objects and are in any shape or form interested in Mordic 5, then you should go there, try the PR, improve the quality by testing it and giving feedback.
They also need testers to get better feedback.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talking about new things, we also got a new sales board approach, which is looking for testers. It's by Albert MN, if I remember correctly, and he proposed on the forums that he had a new plugin which enables Mordic to have a sales board and is still looking for beta testers to get feedback and improve it.
Yeah, that was a nice looking screenshot. I mean, it's once again one of those Kanban boards.
Yeah.
So it's not completely new, but it's a new approach to this. And go ahead, contact Albert, be a beta tester, make it happen. Very cool. And while we are looking for assistance for other things, we have this WordPress plugin for Mordic that one or the other might use.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it is pretty much abandoned. So the Mordic project is looking for a new maintainer for the WordPress plugin. So if you care, if you're using it, if you have the chance to do some coding, bring it to the future, maybe even add good new features, but at least maintaining it on the level it is, do contact Ruth or follow the link that we put in the show notes, and you'll be a happy chappy, and we'll be too.
A happy chappy. Nice. Yeah. I'm also a happy chappy when it comes to installing Moric. And
you're a happy chappy when you can do sequels.
And there's been a bit of discussions and help around how to automate it or automate your setup of Moric. And I think there's even a new plugin by IT Navigate, I hope I pronounced it correctly,
yeah, totally.
Which provides a way of setting up Moric in a pretty simple and straightforward way.
It's basically scripts, and of course many people ask for that or are working on that, and it's always good to coordinate and learn from each other. So we're linking to all that in the show notes. And another thing in the realm of infrastructure, we'll link to a different thing about caching, like Memcache or Redis, and doing that in local PHP. So if you care about that, you'll know. Click the link. If you don't know what I'm talking about, let's move on to integration.
Yeah, integrations. You cannot cross integrations without looking at Salesforce. And there's been an entry in the forum by Mark Williams 21 about his best practices using Salesforce. And if you out there are using Moric and Salesforce, you should really take a look at that article.
Yeah, I mean, to be completely honest, those things are always a monster. Like interconnecting CRM deeply, not just forwarding simple data, but connecting timeline and all those things.
Making it smart. Yeah,
being two ways. That is not trivial. So thanks, Mark, for shelling out your best practices, sharing those, and helping everybody else to improve.
Yeah, helping everybody else to improve. You cannot forget his name. Joy also released a new article regarding SES, how to send in Moric 5 and how to queue with the new daemons that you have to use to send out emails. And he made a really Joy-esque article. Well done, well written, and it's easy to understand even for beginners.
Yeah, I don't think this is for beginners, really. So SES, first of all, is Amazon, when you send email through Amazon, AWS. Sending emails in Moric 5 is different from what it was before. Mm-hmm. And there are so many options and in fact, multiple plugins today. And Joey is doing a terrific job in sorting all this out. By the way, I think we forgot to mention that with the multiple SMTP bundle by Kusmani, that one only supports actual SMTP, while in real world, when you send tens of thousands or millions of emails, you don't use SMTP really, but API connection.
True.
That what makes things even more tricky with Moric 5 and Amazon and everything. So, good. And there's one other thing that we have in the show notes from Joey, and that's even more geeky, I would say. And that's about doing JavaScript from within dynamic web content, DWC. So if you have not used it, dynamic web content is pretty cool because you can actually change the content of your website, not just a pop-up or something, but the actual content from Moric, from campaigns or whatever.
Yeah.
And content is nice enough, but triggering JavaScript from there,
that's a real geeky magic.
It is, yeah. And then that's one topic that I am really interested in because it comes up so many times for us. And our good friend, aka Toby, Audientia, he has one more technical blog post this time. And that one is about role management in Moric. So user roles, as in roles determining the rights that somebody has, and every user has one role. And Toby is explaining that in detail. He's also talking about the limitations. For instance, every user can only have one role. Roles cannot inherit from each other, etc. So in the end, you could turn this into a feature request about improving the role model even further than it is.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong. It's cool. It's powerful. I like it. But there's always room for more, and bringing that up is a good thing. And while thinking about that, it came to me that so many times now I ran into situations where I really miss a group model. And group model, as in a user is a member of a group or maybe multiple groups, as we all know it from Linux, from whatever, from CMS of your choice. And those groups would then lead to certain rights. So let's say a contact is not only owned by a single user, but is also owned or is assigned to a group. And every group member has read or write access to that contact and others don't. And if you think that through, you can actually come to situations where you can where you no longer need multiple Mautics if you'll need some separation because you have multiple brands within your company or so, or multiple schools within your university. And I still try to wrap my head around the best way to do that because there's a lot of tiny decisions to make. But I think it's coming to a good picture. And I've also been discussing with a developer how to whether that's realistic in the first place and what route to go. And then this could be a feature request or feature idea in the forums, as we talked about many times. But maybe it's a good idea or a good moment to bring up that beyond forums, we also have the notion of proposals now in the community platform. And this group model, that might actually be a proposal, not just a random idea that we drop in the forum. So watch out for that. I'll link to the proposals if you have never heard about that. It's worth going there and poking around because they're thought through ideas right there.
Indeed. And also we will link to the blog post by Toby.
Yeah, of course.
Both will be in the show notes.
Without saying. So, and this brings us to the interview part.
Yeah.
So I would say let's jump right into that. I did record this with Thomas ahead of time, and you and I can discuss afterwards.
Yeah, let's go.
See you later. Okay, so this is going to be interesting. Hello, Thomas.
Hello, Eki.
Welcome back to the Mautikcast in English.
Yeah.
You've been here before, but today we're doing a special.
Right.
Right. And as probably announced, we're talking about ourselves.
Oh.
We're taking a look in the mirror.
Right.
This has been actually a thing that people have been asking for frequently for years.
All right.
Yeah. And I always said, yeah, cool idea. One day we're going to do it. Now is the day. I would like you to start with a look in the mirror and then tell us a little bit about Thomas.
Yeah.
Who are you? Where are you coming from? And why?
Yeah, nice to be here. I'm Thomas. I'm 50 years old. I'm working here at Leuchtfeuer since 1999. Unbelievable. What a long time. I've learned and I've studied economics, same as you, and started to work here just when I finished my studies.
Yeah, so this has been your first and final job so far.
Yeah, but the company has evolved over time, and I think we were talking about that today little bit.
Yeah, let's do
so that. It's always interesting to work here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been around even longer because I was one of the founders of the company, and I actually had a real job before that, but not for long. Just 2 years, I did work in a computer center of a bank. Had some real fancy new technology like local networks and services on that. And
many machines to play with.
Yeah, we kind of introduced the internet to that. So that was before the millennium and a fun time, but really different. Yeah. Yeah. So my personal contact was things like open source and the internet, of course. It was totally related, because whatever I did in private, I had the chance to do that in my professional job as well, and said, hey, we need to look at this, and hey, really let's buy that. But the world was totally different by then. Of course, there was Linux and Apache and MySQL, etc., popping up. They were really new. Like, I think most were invented mid-90s, and that's the time we're talking here.
That was the time, yeah.
So we still had Sun, Solaris, IBM, AIX, really serious hardware. And we had a lot of commercial software. When the internet got more substantial, we had a lot of Netscape service products.
They were big that time.
It was all driven by the Netscape Navigator, of course, a free client, but the service was really expensive. But it wasn't great. It was still better than the other things that that people had. Remember Lotus, Lotus Notes and stuff, and Microsoft Front Page. Wow.
Great.
Okay. I guess most of people listening to this don't feel the same because they never heard of it. Better not look it up.
Better not.
Yeah. But there were those Unix-related things. Obviously, the GNU project had been around for a long time. And again, Linux and BSD, etc. Programming languages, all open source. And yeah, and then on desktop, on Windows, OS 2 and whatever, we had not a lot of real open source. There was this freeware, shareware, what was it called? Bloatware. most things were really internet related. There was a lot of things going on there. Open source was not even coined at the point. So there was not a word. We had this freeware, etc., but little notion of contribution. Stuff like that. Do you remember your first personal contact was free software?
I guess it would be Linux, because I tried a lot of platform systems. As you know, I also tried OS2 Warp, if we are in the old times. And I remember to reinstall my PC at home once and again, and I'm pretty sure it must have been Linux.
Okay, cool. I mean, for me, either something network related, or I well remember using GIMP at the time.
So that's true. GIMP.
Nobody could afford
drawing tool.
Adobe. So GIMP was big.
It's true. Mostly I used it because it was freeware or shareware. Mm. I had no money, so it was a good chance to get to software which doesn't cost anything.
I was looking out for things like that.
Great stuff. What was your first interaction or contribution as Leuchtfeuer, or as the company was called the years before?
We can talk about the names later.
Maybe.
When the company started pre-millennium, we did use some open source software. We actually had a really huge project where we had to fight like crazy to not to use commercial software. Mm-hmm. It was about Hamburg DE.
I remember that.
Yeah, it was about the Freemail, actually. The company we were working for, they ran the Hamburg DE website, which was huge already at the time. But the city of Hamburg decided to give all of their million citizens a free email address.
At Hamburg.de.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So we had built a huge cluster of computer servers to do all that. And we did that on Intel machines, not on Sun Solaris or Spark hardware. We did use the Solaris x86. So we were not allowed to use Linux, but we used the Intel, and we were proud of that because it was big game changer in terms of cost. And on that, we used actual open source software. We had a Qmail, for instance, for the mailing core servers and things around that, all the way to the management of it and so on. That was a huge project, because that amount of traffic and data was really hard to handle at the time. We had a rack full of hard disks, and in total, wasn't much. I don't really remember, but 1.5 terabyte something. I have that in my pocket.
Which was giant that day. Yeah.
Oh yeah, those were the days. But you did ask for our own company's contribution, mm-hmm. and that was nobody ever thought of that at the time. At least we didn't.
Mm-hmm.
But when we became when we changed our business model at the time and said, okay, let's move on to some content management, and we do want it to be open source, and it was totally clear that we would be part of that and not just use something, because we were really sick and tired of using all the crap that came from the commercial vendors.
Yeah.
And eventually that turned out to be Type 3.
Uh-huh.
So this is not an interview about Type 3, but it was what we did at the time.
Yeah.
It was a smart decision, I still think. And mm-hmm. so we immediately started interacting with the people. It was a small group at the time.
Yeah.
Who did that, would be part of that, co-founded the Type 3 Association real quick. And I was a security team lead for a couple of years.
Yeah, yeah.
We did contribute to the Quora, of course, and extensions even in the early days.
Yeah.
And totally made that our DNA.
I remember getting in contact with the Type 3 community because I wanted to change a little bit and wanted to ask for that. As I'm not a developer, I had the suggestion, even every time when Type 3 released a new version, there was no release notes, so you wouldn't know what's new in this. Yeah. And then I asked that in a mailing list, I guess.
Of course.
And the things that happen when you're working with open source was, maybe you can contribute, and I was happy to do so. I said, I have no idea what exactly is new, and they say, we'll find a process, we'll give you information, and if you help us writing the documentation, the release notes, that would be a big help. Mm. And this is how I started my contribution, even as I'm not a developer.
Yeah, so, and like always, you learn a lot on the way.
Really, right? Really a lot, because you get deeper and deeper into the product, obviously.
Yeah, and you have to do some more proper research.
And you identify yourself even more with it, because you get to know all the people.
Oh, yeah,
you see, they're really friendly. They're it's just fun to work that way.
Yeah, and the questions in your head, you now have a way to answer them.
Right. Yeah. You know who to ask, for example.
Do you know the situation when you have to give a course or teach somebody about something?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first time you really learn about the subject matter.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
True story. When I was in university, I had a job at the university. I had to teach people about things, and among those things was a database.
At the Access time
it was called a DBase.
A DBase, right?
Yeah. So no graphical user interface. And I had no clue. And literally 2 days before I had to give the first course, I started writing
DBase yourself. Yeah.
But it did work.
Yeah.
And that's the best way to learn from me, I guess. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyways. So you did bring up Type 3.
Yeah.
That's obviously one of the two things that we do in Leuchtfeuer today.
Yeah.
So it's Type 3.
Yeah.
And it's Mautic.
Yeah.
And maybe you can tell us a little bit about this whole thing. What do we do about Type 3 and so on?
Sure thing. We all know, I guess, Type 3 is a content management system. It's more an enterprise content management system. It has a lot of capabilities, and they all start to work out and be great if you have bigger sites. Mm. And so our customers are bigger. The biggest names that people know could be Continental, the tires company, not the hotel company, or TÜV Nord Group, and large universities. We have more interesting customers, but the names are not that obvious or not much known. And so we do big projects for those companies, continuous projects. If you imagine you have a website, a big website, of course, there is a relaunch, but we also work on the project continuously, consulting with the customer, try to develop and improve the site, got new requirements, and then we are doing that with two teams. Mm. Mostly what we are doing is B2B at that part. And we also do UX, UI, strategy, migration training, hosting, like everything you need to do if you are a web agency, let's call it.
I think it's noteworthy that it's not about large companies, really. It's about
large projects.
Yeah, complex projects. Where Type of 3 can really shine and where the structures that we have as a company and our teams make sense.
Right.
If it's a single developer project and a one-off and so on, that's not our
thing. If it's only for a bakery page or something like that, it's just too big, right? Yeah. And we are also doing SEO for there, but also SEO consulting and obviously online marketing, marketing strategy.
Yeah.
And at that part, we also then have complementary Mautic.
That's where the
connection is. Which fits perfectly.
Yeah, totally, yeah.
Also regarding the tech stack, because Type of 3 has also the roots in Symfony, which does Mautic too.
Yeah, that's an internal thing that it's a very good match for us.
Right.
Yeah, but for the client, obviously, yeah, you have a nice website. It's totally very capable of the things that you need as a say a B2B hidden champion, worldwide player, multi-language, multi-site. Mm. That's where Type of 3 is great. But just having that great technology for a website today is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
So all the things that you already brought up,
Maybe you can tell a little bit what we're doing about, in the Mautic world here.
I'm trying to draw a line. I mean, obviously we have those areas with Type of 3 and Mautic, but then you have other things that are on both ends.
Mm-hmm.
In Mautic projects, sometimes you have the need for SEO or other online marketing related things.
Mm-hmm.
In both, we totally have this thing of measurement. And we like to use Matomo these days.
True.
Still have Google Analytics, etc., Tag Manager. But in many cases, people moved on to Matomo and even in large installations. To bring all that data from different sources to comprehensive dashboards, KPI boards, etc., that give helpful insights, not just bunches of data that is a trick by itself, but it's always like a site service that we do to either Type of 3 or Mautic or both. So in Mautic, I mean, everybody who's listening to the podcast does know what Mautic is, so I don't have to explain that. But we did not know when we before we got started. Obviously, nobody knows something before they get started. And the way we got started with Mautic was driven from the Type of 3 side. So we had a large client who said, we've been doing Type of 3 thing for over 10 years now, and we need to overhaul it totally. And we are doing the really big thing and have a big tender, actually, for an entire solution, which includes not only the content management system, but also involves specific features around it, like the translation automation and this and that, and also marketing automation.
Right.
And at the time, we said, nice bullshit word. Sorry for my language.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. But of course, we had to look into it. And so it was two things. One was to see what does it really mean. I mean, we had heard the term and then always moved on and said, leave us alone. and it has to be said that we both studied economy and marketing and all, but it just didn't exist at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We had to familiarize ourselves with the concept of marketing automation.
Mm-hmm.
And frankly, I still had a hard time of getting the point because nobody could explain to me exactly the value and the need and the process.
Mm-hmm.
It was always the same high level, nice slides, but I couldn't connect that to reality. And the other thing was, of course, what tool do we add to the bundle here. Yeah, we don't. This is not a Type 3 feature.
Yeah, but we looked at how would we implement something like this in Type 3, but
I remember.
Really quickly yeah. we decided, no, that's not the way, because maybe we can talk about that in a second. We always choose the right weapon for the job, if you want to call it that way. We don't want to add something, for example, in this case to Type 3, which is not the core feature of it. Yeah. And then we looked, what else does exist?
Yeah, that's super important, I think, because your software gets out of control when you want to let it do everything. So it's much, much better to have a good suite of things and good interfaces, etc., and smart decisions when it comes to features and platforms for the feature.
Right.
Yeah, anyway, so we did look at options, and we, of course, looked at the commercial options from the crazy expensive to the seemingly affordable in the beginning, but because we were talking about many contacts, it was clear that even HubSpot, etc., would be really expensive and would let our project explode, our budget. So we did look at open source, but there was nothing there except this funny thing called Mautic. And it did look nice enough to us at the time. And with all our experience from the Type 3 world, we said, okay, what is the community here, etc.? What is architecture? Do we like it? Does it have potential? Will it be there in 10 years, etc.? And we ended up with offering Mautic. We lost the project.
Well,
but we won Mautic.
Exactly.
Yeah, because by the time we had understood it, we had tried in other projects, and we saw the potential. We said, okay, Germany people are not really there yet. In other places of the world, we are further beyond. The project is not yet mature, but it will get there. And so we immediately jumped into this open source project. There was a lot of vacancy at the time and a lot of spots where you could just leave a footprint, and mm-hmm. still are, by the way.
Yeah.
But we've come a long way, and Mautic is much, much better today than it was at the time. Yeah. And long story short, we tried different combinations of services, and mm-hmm. in the end we said, no, let's focus on Mautic. It's more than enough. And let's grow the team there. So we started doing exactly that.
Right.
And people also ask me, what's next? Frankly, I am pretty happy with the setup that we have today. On the CMS end with Type 3, well, Type 3, there was a discussion about lifecycle. Mm-hmm. Type 3 does a really good job in reinventing itself and keeping the software fresh from the core and improving quality all the time. So it gets although it's really a Central European thing, not a global thing, mm-hmm. really. It is, I think it's fantastic. It's much better than other products in this space of the complex project. It's there to stay, I'm really sure. Maybe over time we will add something else to the mix, but Type 3 is there, and our role in complex projects is just something that we learned over so many years and that we're so good at, so that's going to be there.
Yeah.
In Mautic, there's still a lot of options out there, mm-hmm. and we have to make decisions, and sometimes tough decisions, like is this something, some offering that we want to add? Do we want to productize something? Mm-hmm. People out there build their Mautic SaaS brands, and of course we had this discussion as well. Do we want to, is this our strengths? We do a lot of hosting. We do that really good, but I think working with clients and helping them be successful is much more important than just running the servers, and nonetheless we of course do that because we're good at it, mm-hmm. just as we do it for Type 3. It's in the cloud, it's in a computer center, it's on premise with the clients. Mm-hmm. We do all that, But our focus really is at helping people being successful. And that's a little different than it is in the Type of 3 world, because it is, the scope is much, much broader. We have to help people from the strategy end. That they come to us and say, yeah, I heard of this marketing automation, or I started using Mautic, but I don't know what to do with it, or it's slow for me, or people are not happy. From some situation, whatever it is, people come, and there's always a ton of potential in turning it into a successful tool and successful strategy.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we start from strategy. We help people on a daily basis with smart campaigns, etc. We do not do things like content creation.
Yep.
No, the others can do that much better than we do. But all of that, what I just said, has nothing to do with the tool, and is still very important for the package. And then when it comes to the tool, obviously, we help people implement their ideas. We do a lot of custom code things, custom integrations. When people have some ideas that you cannot do with Mautic,
mm-hmm.
That's why it's open source. We can make it happen, and we love to get that back into the core, mm-hmm. or into public space by open sourcing things, etc. Mm-hmm. But in the end, we're talking about clients and their needs and their success today. And so this setup will be there over time. There might be slight changes, but it's not like we're going to overhaul the entire Mautic setup that we have in the team. We want to grow, of course, and we improve in our processes, but we've made success, mm-hmm. such fantastic progress in the last 2 years already. Other things, I mean, of course, there's AI, etc. It's all going to sneak into the things that we do today, but it's not like we're going to have a third area of business next year, as far as I know.
Okay,
now that said, here's a question for you, Thomas.
Yeah.
Who is doing all these fantastic things?
All these crazy things. Yeah, good question. Well, we're sitting here in Hanover, Germany, northern part of Germany, for those who don't know exactly. We are 30 people, and mostly we work with fixed contract peoples here. We have sometimes freelancers that support us in projects, but we strongly believe in the interaction in fixed teams, in working on an everyday basis together in a team, doing have short ways of communication to work in those complex projects we do.
Yeah. Especially on premise. I mean, those 30 here in Hanover, obviously they're all fixed, and we just love that. Of course, there's home office days, but so multiple times a week to be together as a team is a huge difference. Yeah. Yeah, but you're right. We do have freelancers mostly on the Mautic side.
Correct.
Driven by need, basically. We don't have enough developers here. We would love to have more.
Yeah.
We would also love to have more remote developers, but also on a permanent basis.
Yeah.
So we don't do like short-term one-off contracts with anybody.
No.
It's really always a long-term relationship, and that's the only thing that works for us.
Yeah. So maybe a quick call out here. If you're interested to work for us, have a look at our website.
Good point. Yeah. Or get in touch any way you can reach us. Right. Yeah, very good.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And maybe why do we love open source? We talked a little bit about that, but I think it's quite interesting.
Yeah, I think that's important to point out. That's not like a religious thing or anything obscure like that. It's an actual business model. It's not exclusive that we only use open source. For instance, I love my Mac, and I'm happy to pay for other things that are helping me do my job better, or just are more pleasant to use, or whatever.
Same with me.
In many cases, there's no valid alternative at all, but in some spaces there is.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, we think in the spaces where we are, content management and marketing automation, we have very, very strong open source alternatives. And so building a business model around that is not so unusual.
Yeah.
So it's mostly people don't have to pay for a license, save whatever, tens of thousands of euros per year.
Yeah.
But of course, they still need professional services, and that's what we do. And by being active in an open source project, that's a good way to be the best or be really good in what you do and be
exactly.
really well connected and be really visible and all that.
Yeah.
So it's totally valid thing, and I can only invite everybody else who's considering such things to be all in embrace the idea.
Yeah. For me, it's really also the topic that in open source, I don't just use the software, I'm part of it. And this is a big thing for me because I got the chance to, I don't want to say steer the direction where the product will go because it's a group effort.
Mm.
But at least I have a chance, if I'm looking, for example, at Word, I've never ever had a chance to define what next feature should be in Microsoft Word.
Yeah.
Dumb example, but this is something which is quite cool to have.
Yeah.
To lift the project or the product.
And of course, it's also like rewarding and fun to,
right.
to be part of that and to interact with all those people around the globe and have a little footprint in the history.
Yeah.
And one more thing, maybe it's not directly related to open source, but open source also allows to self-host your things and not to give all the data to the Krakens out there. So it's ethical marketing also. Many clients, this thing of data sovereignty, digital sovereignty is a big deal, and it's the right thing to do. I mean, so again, there would be other ways, there could be other ways to achieve that, but open source in our world is in most cases the only way to get there, and I fully support that.
Yeah.
Okay, then coming to the end, let's be a bit more specific. Let's talk a little bit about what is our role in Mautic?
Mm-hmm.
What do we mean by embracing it and all?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first thing is obviously the Mauticast.
Oh, well, yeah.
So we try to deliver information, our knowledge, where we are here in the podcast. And we started the podcast in 2019, unbelievable. So that is the first part of what are we doing for Mautic.
So funny, it's episode number 50 now,
mm-hmm.
and we're approaching 5 years of Mauticast, so we have a double celebration.
Yeah.
Wow, we'll drink a lot.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything to add from your side?
Sure, I mean, obviously we are pretty active in the quote-unquote community.
Right.
So that means there are committees or teams out there where we or some of us play a role. Like I'm team lead for the community team, or mm-hmm. Leon has been contributing heavily to the education team.
Right.
And Jonas is very active in the product team, and then Lennon as well.
Mm-hmm.
Others don't do as much. They support by, for instance, testing or contributing starts with attending events,
right.
or helping events like being a track lead. And then Madeleine, for instance, is very, very active in the old in event world.
Yeah.
Mauticon wouldn't be there without Madeleine, I guess.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. There's really so many ways to contribute as a person. Mm-hmm. And of course, we also contribute as a company, for instance, financially. So
yeah.
We sponsor events, be gold sponsor here or there.
Yeah.
We are a silver member of the Mautic community, and we also fund development in some cases financially.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is to really spend hours and hours in code contribution for people who work on the core, but mm-hmm. also for code that we have in our drawer or do because we like it. Here's
yeah.
a Mautic feature that we would like to have, and then we create it and contribute it.
Yeah.
So it's not like everybody has to do it like that, but I think everybody should really think about what is my role in Mautic, what could it be, what should it be. I think it's a very important thing, not just to be a user and a consumer, but also to understand that Mautic or every open source project requires a certain percentage of people to be an active part of it and give back in one way or the other.
Exactly. Yeah. Do you have a tip for people that think, okay, I'd like to contribute, but how what would be the start?
Well, the start is really the hardest thing. And my best tip is always to go to some event, to some in-person event or online personal event, like an online meetup where you interact with people. Listen in if you're really shy, but see, speak up if you dare to.
Yeah.
And it turns out people are so friendly and so... It's so nice to get to know people in person, and then you can contact them directly on Slack or whatever. Give them a phone call.
Make the first contact somehow.
Yeah. And if you are at an event, I mean, there's a Mauticon in Lisbon coming up, Mauticon Europe, November. You spend 2 days there. Yeah, you not only sit through some great talks, but you also have all the breaks or the coffee. The chance to talk to people, the evening, which can be a long evening.
and if then, it's a good one.
I hope so. I am sure. Then the next day was a lot of interaction and a lot of actual openings there to do things. Mm-hmm. So that is, of course, a perfect thing because you're very intensively in contact with others.
Yeah.
And whatever the way is to get in contact, from there you can then say, oh, yeah, well, I like what you do there. Can I be part of it? Or can you connect me to somebody who is into marketing or like marketing and marketing the Mautic project and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
If you don't have the chance to get to some group of people, you can still, of course, be a financial contributor. Every single individual should be a Mautic member for whatever, 10 bucks or so. You can be that and show your support. Mm-hmm. You can still make your company contribute to the Mautic course. You can still contribute all the code, the custom things that you might have. Mm-hmm. But you could also go there and, for instance, write some social media things, some tutorials, whatever you think is missing. Mm-hmm. So many people complain that the documentation is not perfect in this or the other place. So once you understand how to fix it yourself, it's pretty easy to go there and write the missing paragraph.
Yeah.
And again, at that point, it's totally rewarding because it feels so good to see your name there. And now you have 10 contributions, you get a handwritten letter by Ruth or whatever. And I know that some still have that on the wall because they're so proud of it.
They can be.
It's totally good. Yeah, so yeah, that's hopefully some pointers, but if you are still unsure, here's an invitation. Just get in touch with me directly, send me whatever, and really do it. So many people tell me, I've been doing this for ages, but I never got around. Do it today.
You can.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, good ending.
Yeah, what an ending. That was not about Leuchtfeuer. Oh, by the way, Leuchtfeuer. What an awful word for non-German speakers. So what it means is lighthouse. Yeah. So we actually have Lighthouse Digital Marketing as a parallel name, parallel brand to Leuchtfeuer Digital Marketing. Mm-hmm. We'll see whether we might switch to Lighthouse in the international realm. For now, you may want to practice Leuchtfeuer. It's fun. Okay. Thank you, Thomas.
Thank you, Eckhard.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Damn, I gotta say, I knew it was 50 episodes on paper, but I wasn't aware that we are almost close to the 5 years.
Incredibly.
We're getting old. Been there for a while.
Yeah, well, it could be worse. Good. So we have a lot of other things to cover still. I mean, we did not yet talk about anything community, and there's so much things going on as well. One of my favorite topics these days is the reinvention of the release cycle, should I say?
Release cycle.
Yeah. In my I'm also a Mautic user, and I know many other Mautic users, and I know developers love to shell out new code, bring out new features frequently, rapidly, and so on, and never stick with old stuff. But as a user, frankly, I am not so keen to update all the time. I'm rather happy when I don't have to update at all.
When you have a stable version that works.
Yeah. Okay, there's pros and cons to that, but long story short, as a Mautic project, we need to find a balance where the development can move on and move on and move on, and the users still have the peace of mind that they can stick with a version for a year or two or maybe even longer, and then upgrade to a stable next version, whatever it is. And that is all the background for the release cycle, and Matthias did a great job in presenting that at the Mauticon Global summer this year. Summer? Do we still have summer?
Yeah, more or less.
Whatever. Yeah, in June it was. That was a starting point, and he invited everybody for discussion. That was what's happened so far, and I think it's really, really taking good shape now. And it's honoring this need for this different needs. I don't want to go into the details here. And of course, we're adding something extra to make it even more attractive to the larger corporations who cannot upgrade all the time. Mm-hmm. And that is the extended long-term support. So first of all, long-term support means that at a certain point, we no longer issue minor releases. We only issue bug fixes and eventually only security fixes.
True, yeah.
But we stick with that version that we are on, and people can use it and be stable and safe. So that's great, and that's for a long period, multiple years. And then after that, we even offer a further extension called the extended long-term support.
Mm, handy, I see.
Yeah, isn't it? That is actually for money, so there's going to be some fee for that, mm-hmm. and people buy that for 1 year, and then they can stick with a version for yet another year if they cannot update. There's plenty of time for everybody to update by then, so nobody's forced to pay money, but those who choose not to upgrade, they can prolong the life cycle for a reasonable fee.
Yeah.
Help the Mautic project with a little money, and on the other hand, of course, there's some work to be done for that.
Yeah, true.
Upgrade even later. The best strategy, when should I update? That's a different story. But I know there are always people who do not want to update, who cannot, who don't have the budget this year, whatever the excuses are. That's just reality.
Yeah, it is.
And as a really professional project, we're embracing that situation with this new release cycle, long-term support, and extended long-term support. And I'm pretty sure, I think it's not 100% decided, or at least not published, but I'm pretty sure we will see that by the 1st of January next year, at least. That's what I hope.
We'll put that into my calendar.
Yeah, well, I mean, you just said, in the beginning, you said we have a 4.4.13
mm-hmm.
Because it's a security update. That the original decision was to not even to have security updates for Mautic 4 by now. Mautic 4 by now. And so we still have that, and we will have that through the end of the year, and then maybe even longer.
Yeah, let's see.
Yeah, let's move on.
Yeah. Moving on, we got a topic to cover about the UX UI team once again. In the forum, there's a bigger entry about enhancing the UI UX Tiger team because they did a lot of work. As you already mentioned, you could also say breaking changes to the UI a lot. And they're requesting feedback because they can only ship things when people give feedback, and maybe they oversee things here and there that the Mautic user would define otherwise and have different opinions. And I think like a good UX UI can only be really frugal if a lot of people chip in and say, okay, this is what they think about things.
Yeah. And I know you did that. You did that too.
I did that a lot. I will try to keep on doing that. And from the interactions I had with Anderson, for example, I got a really good, or I gave good feedback, and then I got a good response. Okay, this is what he thinks about. And yeah.
Cool.
Also, just a little side note, the videos of the last Mautic conference are now online and to be found on the Mautic YouTube channel, which took a while.
Yeah, total recommendation. There's so much stuff there. I mean, not only this Mauticon, but all the, those of last year's. And so I think it's a fantastic source of information if you want to have some case studies, guidelines, best practices, whatever, on topics from marketing strategy all the way down to running a cluster or developing for Mautic.
Yeah.
Yeah. We had the Google Summer of Code projects. We had two of them. One was about end-to-end testing, Mautic features. That one, there's even a report as a blog post, so people can see what was achieved, and I celebrate that. I did love this Google Summer of Code thing in general.
Yeah.
The other was bringing Marketplace to the next level. I think that was really fruitful as well. There's not yet a report there, but I think Jan is really happy with the results, and that tells me it's
good. Picking up on the new level, I think the Mautic.org homepage is getting a little bit of traction about restructuring. So there's a working group, for example, which talks about how we could redesign the homepage, do a bit of restructuring, add a bit of new content so it gets a new glance and looks like it's been done this year.
Well, it really is outdated.
Is a bit outdated.
I think the biggest pain is that the homepage, starting page, is totally senseless.
Yeah.
And I think creating a much better homepage is one of the core ideas here. And then, different navigation, all that. Yeah, but it's going to take a while. But obviously, that team is also looking for input. So if you are into CMS, content strategy, whatever, you're very welcome.
We'll put a link to the Slack in the show note.
Yeah. Okay. And I think whoever mentioned the word show note now will have to pay. Okay. Not even last, and certainly not least, Mautic Conference coming up, Mautic Conference Europe in this case. So it's an in-person event in November 3rd through 4th.
Mm-hmm.
Happening in wonderful, beautiful Lisbon.
Yeah.
So one of my five favorite cities, and I'm definitely going.
Same.
Very good. And I hope you are too. If you are in Europe, it's a no-brainer. People from outside of Europe are welcome as well. Speakers from around the world are also welcome. The call for speakers is open through October 1st. We link to that, but I don't tell you where. So go ahead, submit your talk. There's even, if you can't carry the travel costs, I think you're even supported with that. Ticket sales are open. You should really book your travels now if you plan to go, because right now it's really cheap.
Yeah.
November, it's dirt cheap as opposed to summertime.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, like always, we desperately need sponsors for the event. We want it to be a success and also not a financial disaster for Mautic.
True.
So please do consider sponsoring the event, big or small, and we will be very grateful.
Yeah, talking about the event, we cannot forget about the Mautic Awards, which will take place and happen the first time this year. And there is a link to, you know where it is and where it leads. It leads to the page where you could write a proposal about which Mautic project or which member, there are different categories on which award is to be distributed. And I suggest you read through it and then write a proposal on which person or else you would like to see there.
And there being on stage in Lisbon, because that's where the awards will be decided, or at least published.
Right, I withheld that information.
I sure hope to see many of you in Lisbon. It's going to be a fantastic event. It's a fantastic location next to the river in the cultural center of Belém, world famous for its
Pastel de Natas
station.
I'm very excited to go there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and it's just going to be cool to meet all of you in Lisbon.
Yeah.
Okay. So don't miss out. And other than that, we appreciate your feedback like always. And stay tuned, stay safe. See you soon.
See you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.